just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good morning, Houston. Welcome to Amplified Houston 90.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my pride and privilege to serve as the CEO for the Women's Home. And this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Maria Moncada, who is the vice president of the Porsche brand for Sonic Automotive. But first, I want to remind you that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. Now on with the show. Maria, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Anna, thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, for our listeners, please tell us about your role at Sonic Automotive and a little bit about how you got there professionally.
So as you mentioned, I'm the Porsche brand vice president for Sonic Automotive. We're a Fortune 500 company, and my responsibility is to oversee all the Porsche stores that we own throughout the country, the P&L, profit and loss statements, the OEM or Porsche manufacturer relations, community involvement, marketing, and most of all, customer satisfaction and our presence in the community. And I started in the automotive business fresh out of high school. I kind of stumbled in the car business, and it's not only become my passion, it's like my purpose. So I'm one of seven kids. I was putting myself through college, and I found a job in the car business. It was an entry-level position as an administrative assistant, and it paid really well. So I thought, gosh, they're going to find out they're overpaying me for an inexperienced college student. And so I wanted to add as much value as I could. I would volunteer for extra jobs. I would learn as much as I could, and I would help the managers organize their day. And in doing so, I started learning a lot about the car business. And like I said, I fell in love with it. And so I eventually got into sales, finance, sales management, a general sales manager, and eventually general manager of a BMW dealership, where I was at for 15 years before I became Porsche brand vice president about 2.5 years ago.
Wow. Wow. That's quite a story. And I love that you're working in a field that's not really dominated by women. It's really a male dominated field. We're going to get to all of that. Maria, as I've said over and over again on this show is inspired by the women of the Women's Home who come in to the Women's Home to do some of the hardest work of their lives. They are so resilient. We've had women who come into the Women's Home and they've had 5 or 6 episodes where they've tried to get help and it hasn't worked. And yet they try one more time. And that kind of resilience is what we celebrate around here. And so every woman I know has done hard things. I mean, we all face hard things in our lives. But this show is really about giving people a flavor of what some women out there who may have, you know, big, wonderful jobs like you, but more about where they came from and what some of the bumps were along the way. So tell us about your personal journey. You've told us about your professional journey, how you got in there, but you have a fascinating backstory. Could you share a little bit with our listeners?
Sure. So I'll start when we first came to the US. I was born in Honduras. My mother is from Spain. My father was from Honduras. And my dad worked for the government of Honduras, very well, highly educated gentleman, incredible parents. I was blessed. I think when God was distributing parents, I was blessed to probably get two of the best. And so when the government in Honduras changes, like in most countries, everybody loses their job. And my dad was in a crossroads. He lost his job because the government changed parties. And we had a choice. We could either stay in Honduras and wait till the next election and see what happens, or move. And the decision was, do we move to Spain, where my mom's from, or do we come to the US? My dad studied at LSU. He spoke English, and he felt that the US was a better future for the kids. So we came to the States. We left everything behind in Honduras. And at 8 years old, I had to learn a new language. I had to assimilate, which was it was a very tough transition for us. We came from having nannies and maids and chauffeurs to pretty much having nothing and starting over. And so through the transition and learning to assimilate and get assimilated to the US, my father gets a heart attack at this time I was age 11, and it was a really tough time for us. He had to live with 40% of his heart working. And most people don't survive a massive heart attack like the one he had. The silver lining was that because it was such a massive heart attack and people couldn't explain how he survived it, he had the best care. We had Dr. DeBakey, the eminent Dr. DeBakey,
Wow.
actually taking care and studying my dad's case. And so he sort of got the best care. And when we look at life, it's like a puzzle, right? And then you start putting the pieces together. As I look back, I go, that was one of the blessings in disguise. The other thing I would tell you is, we had to live through savings, and the savings were running out. And one of the things we had to deal with was figuring out how we help in the home. At the time, I was only 11, 12 years old. My younger brother was only 9, 10. And we were all of age where we really couldn't work. We had to study. But we found ways to contribute to the house. We would babysit, we would mow lawns, we would pass newspapers, whatever we could to help out in the house. And my parents, through all this, kept a positive attitude. They kept us focused on God, on knowing that we can do all things through Him, and that He would never give us more than we can handle. And we believe
Yeah.
that. To this day, we believe that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's
And
beautiful.
one of the things that I think really shaped my ability to assimilate in the car business that I learned back then was how to negotiate, because at 12, we had bill collectors calling, and we couldn't stress my father out. So I had to be very calm, very poised when these bill collectors would call and try to negotiate with them. My mom didn't speak English. So, it was one of those things that fell on me. And I look back at the puzzle that is my life, and I think this is one of the things that built my resilience and my tenacity, being able to negotiate with adults when I
So
was a
you were
kid.
11, or 12, and you were negotiating with bill collectors. That's remarkable. That is something that I agree with you. That probably did really shape your understanding of the world. And gosh, you had to grow up at a young age and help support your family. I think about what you said earlier about going from, having everything, a beautiful home and maids and chauffeurs and everything, to then coming here. I mean, that was a tremendous sacrifice for your parents, for your whole family. Do you think they ever got to the point where they kind of regretted their decision?
No, that's one of the things that I would tell you. My mom and dad always inculcated in us, never regret anything you do. Everything happens for a reason, and always move forward. Regret's a waste of energy. You have to look at the future and say, okay, how do I move forward? And that's how we viewed it. Was it tough? It was definitely tough. It was challenging, but we knew there was a reason we were here. And one of the things that they really emphasized was being a good contributor to this country. It embraced it. It opened its doors to us. give the very best of yourself. And so that's what we've strived to do all our lives, myself and my siblings, to give the very best of ourselves. And the best always comes back to you when you do that.
That's so true. You are giving us so many quotable quotes this morning. The best always comes back to you when you give it. This quote that you said earlier, regret is a waste of energy. I love that. So that's pretty remarkable that you had those influences growing up and that kind of family behind you. Were there other important lessons that your family taught you while you were growing up? I know you've had the situation where, you know, the power got cut off, or you had to do things that were really surprising to get by. I mean, tell us more about some of those experiences.
You know, I think one of the things that's always stayed with me is my mom said, always look at the bright side of things, be positive. And she is the most positive person you could meet, that there's always a silver lining on everything. And so I look at life through that lens, that there's a reason for this. There was one day I remember coming home from school, and I was, you know, I took my mission to be a good student and get straight A's very seriously, because that was the reason we were in this country, to give the best of ourselves. And I came home and there was no power. And I asked my mom what happened to the lights. Well, they got cut off. But the great news is we're going to have barbecue today and we're going to camp outside. So in our backyard, we made a camp and we had barbecue. And I thought, gosh, I wonder if other kids are as lucky as we are. We get to camp outside in the middle of the week. I get to do my homework with the moonlight, and I get to hang out with my whole family and have a barbecue. How fun. And so that's part of how we would view some of the challenges we would face. We would look for the silver lining in it and find a way to navigate that, stay positive.
Yeah, that's really remarkable that your parents had that kind of fortitude. So you had also some experiences. I think you told me a story about tamales. Could you share that one with your fam, with the listeners?
So that's the other thing. My parents were not too proud to work and do whatever they needed to do to put food in our table. And my mom, especially, you know, from being somebody that got chauffeured around and was at every social gathering, ambassador parties in Honduras, to coming here, having to clean buildings, clean houses, cook. And she loves cooking. That's one thing. My mother is an absolutely amazing chef. She can cook Spanish food and incredible things. But when we came to the States, people really didn't know Spanish cuisine, like paella and tortilla española. So she knew Mexican food was really popular and tamales were really popular, but she didn't know how to cook Mexican food because she was from Spain. So she learned how to make tamales. And when she made them, she said, hey, we're going to go sell tamales. And I was like, oh my goodness, where are we going to go sell tamales? So we went to sell tamales outside the grocery store out of the trunk of our car. And I can tell you, it was embarrassing for me, but I was like, we got to do this. So we were out there selling tamales, and this gentleman came and said, how many do you have? And we told him, and he said, I'll buy them all. And to this day, I still remember how amazing this gentleman was, that I felt so grateful that somebody's compassion and empathy and generosity was something that changed my day and my view of how things were going that day.
That's amazing. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick station break. Let's talk a few seconds about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option 1 to become a sustaining member today. We are back. This is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition. We are talking to Maria Moncado today, who is vice president at Sonic Automotives for the Porsche brand. And I got to say, Maria, I love me a Porsche.
They are
beautiful
amazing.
Cars. Yeah, really.
They are amazing.
So, Maria, you've been sharing stories today about just how remarkable and resilient your family has been through all of these experiences of emigrating from Honduras. Can you tell us where you think that resiliency comes from, where that incredible attitude comes from?
I think that life throws you challenges, and how you deal with them builds your resilience. I think that oftentimes we think, why me? And I think our attitude's been, dare me, instead of pitying ourselves, instead of why me, dare me. And
Dare me.
taking that approach, taking the approach of being decisive, of making quick decisions, taking action and responsibility, showing up and stepping up when you have to. And I think that it definitely was instilled by our parents. The things I would tell you were important to our family were, one, first, God, having a strong faith. One of the quotes that my parents always mentioned was, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I always lean on that when things get tough. Sorry, let me get some. Knowing that he'll never give you more than you can handle. I also think that the importance of the support from your family, from your community. And sometimes, there's people that are not as blessed as I understand I am with the incredible family I have. But family is also the people you choose to be around you. We had a very strong community in our church, our neighbors, and people that helped us through the tough times. And then just having resilience, knowing that you can bounce back. And sometimes you just have to go through those things. There's a lesson to be learned. And if you're open to those lessons, you'll know that on the other side, you came out stronger and better.
I love that. You just gave me another one. Family are the people that you choose to have around you. You are just full of wisdom this morning, Maria.
Well, thank
So,
you. You inspire me, Anna.
oh, thank you. Your family has been, speaking of community and the people you choose to have around you, your family has been very involved in the community. You shared with me just before the show started that you sit on a board for a nonprofit devoted to autism. And I know that you have other family members who are doing community service. Tell us a little bit about that and tell us what difference it's made in your life.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was instilled in us at a young age was the importance of giving back, of helping others, even as little as you have. There's something you can give, whether it's your time, it's your experiences, is your care and your love, and so that has always been a big part of my entire family's mission to give back. And I've been fortunate through my business to be able to lead beyond my business. With organizations like Houston Children's Charity, I've been a part of it for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's so gratifying, it's so rewarding. I get to see the benefit of our contributions and see how we elevate the city. And we get to meet the people that we help, and it's amazing. Same thing with No Autism. My sister wrote a book talking about how to start a business. She used to be a nurse, and she started her own business doing cosmetology, and so she volunteers for folks that are going through cancer. She helps them go through the transition of losing their hair. My siblings, everybody's involved either with the church or with something that where they can give back, and it's something we take great pride in and a great privilege. It sure is a privilege to be able to give back because they say the gift is in the giving. And without a doubt, I think that's one of the things that I'm most grateful for, the fact that we have this opportunity to elevate the community through the work that we do.
That's beautiful. I agree. I think that community service is so gratifying in a way that not many other things are. You get to feel like you belong, you help other people feel like they belong, and the only way through it is through it. And the fact that other people are willing to help others through hard times is really kind of the whole point of life for me. You've accomplished so much, especially given the hardships you went through as a child. What do you want people who identify with your history to know about how you got to where you are today? Because I bet you there's more than one person sitting out there just in awe of your story and probably see a lot of themselves in you. Houston has a really high proportion of immigrants. Immigrants are having a hard time in our country right now. So what do you want that young person to hear about your story, and how do you want them to absorb it?
I think what I would share is I think everyone has the power within them to lead and make a positive difference. It's up to them. And whatever you put in, give the very best of yourself. Show up, speak up, and work hard. Give the very best of yourself and look to add value. A lot of times we think, what am I going to get paid? What are you going to do for me? How is this going to help me? Instead, I would say, look to how you can add value, how you can change things for the better for whatever entity you're involved in, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's your career in your job, and the rest will follow. Whether it is a great feeling about the work that you're doing, whether it's a sense of accomplishment, or whether it's money, it follows what you put into it. So whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. But within you is the power to lead and make a positive difference.
Yeah,
That's the
that's
main
beautiful.
message.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Our society is fraught with a lot of tension and hostility right now, particularly when it comes to politics. And like many of us, I would imagine that your family has different political views, and differences in the way that they see the world. First of all, tell us how your family navigates those. Let's hear about that first, and then I have a follow-up question.
And I would tell you, it's so funny. Our family is so diverse and it's so amazing. I'm so proud of my family, as you can probably tell. But we are very, all of us are very different. And while we were raised by the same parents, we each have our own opinion, including my nieces and nephews, the next generation. My son's in the army and he's serving our country right now. So yes, this tension in the current environments, it does make us very nervous. But again, we put our faith in God and know that things are going to come out better and in a positive direction. My family mostly is conservative. We have several folks that are on the other side, the liberal side. I have a sister who's absolutely super conservative, and both her sons are representing government officials in the Democratic Party. So you can imagine how interesting our conversations are. And
Yeah.
yet we can talk in a civil manner. We can talk in a productive manner. We respect each other, but most of all, we love each other. And so when we have conversations, it's with the intent to understand each other and to respect each other's opinion. And I think while I would love to change the world, it's a big task. And so I think what we do is we start with ourselves, how we carry ourselves, how we handle a situation where maybe we disagree, and doing it with empathy, with compassion, with dignity. And then our family, I think hopefully it inspires others in the community to say, if this family who's huge, like I mentioned, I'm one of seven kids, so. And now you add the spouses and the nieces and nephews and the kids. It's a big family. But I think if we can inspire others to have civil dialogues where they can talk and learn to understand each other, seek to really get to what we're trying to understand in our viewpoint, I think that that's how you start changing cities, countries, and hopefully the world.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I thank you so much for all of your wisdom today. How do you think that people can take what you've created with your family and apply it to the larger community? Because I do think that I think we're fragile right now, and I think one of the ways that we're fragile is that people are live in their silos. And don't spend a lot of time talking to others about their differences. So what would be, if you could wave your magic wand, how would you change that?
Gosh, I wish I had a magic wand to change that. But I think there's a lot of people that care, that want to make a difference. I think for those that want an environment that's wonderful, that's cohesive, that's collaborative, we've got to step up and we've got to speak up and we've got to show up. I think it's important that instead of holding back and thinking it's somebody else's problem, I think it's important that we lead by our example, that we inspire others. And it may not seem like you have the power to do something that big to change an entire country or the world, but you do. It's amazing when you inspire one person and they see the example that you're setting, the fact that, as I mentioned, within you is the power to lead and make a difference. And they believe that you inspire somebody else to do it, and then it spreads. And so that's how it starts. And I'm a firm believer that one person can truly change the world. It starts with you. It starts with the
Oh,
person in the mirror.
starts with you. Okay, Maria Moncada, you've given us so many quotable quotes today. What a beautiful story to start off our Monday morning. I just have one last question that I like to ask my guests. What is bringing you joy these days?
What brings me joy is my family. I love spending time with my family. I love seeing, the nieces and nephews grow up. I love sharing our stories. Seeing my team too, my family here at work, watching them grow and watching their careers flourish, watching them accomplish the goals that they set out for themselves. Last year I'm so proud of, the dealerships that I oversee. Four of them were premier Porsche dealerships, which is a really tough thing to achieve. Only 10% of the dealerships in the US achieve that. And for four of them to achieve it. And it's a testament to their hard work, their dedication. So getting to be a part of that is so much joy. And then seeing them also pass their knowledge and what they've learned and passing it off to the next generation, to the next
That's
veteran
beautiful.
leaders.
Pass it on. That's great. Great way to close out the show. Maria, thank you so much for being on our show today. We so appreciate it. You've given us a great start to Monday. I want to remind our listeners that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from the Women's Home from The Cottage Shop help women reclaim their lives. Be sure to stay tuned to Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition. Thank you, Maria Moncada, and thank you, KPFT.
Thank you so much, Anna. It was an honor.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Jeff Balfour. I have a show called The Other Side of Life. It's a show basically dedicated to the study of near-death experiences. I hope to bring NDE stories, a little NDE research, people's calls and questions, deathbed visions, and